Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of the Gifted After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We're talking Season 1, Episode 1, Upfront Trailer, which has to be the best superhero kind of pilot I've seen since Heroes way back in the day. Really excited to do this season with you guys. We're going to introduce the panel here in a second. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah!
Yeah! All right!
Oh, yeah!
Dude, this is how we started the Legion panel, too. X-Men.
Oh, my God, guys. I am so excited to be here with my dream team, Rick Kong and Michael Young, and I'm happy to welcome to our dream team Miss Steph Sabra from the South Park.
Yeah, the four horsemen. The fourth horseman.
Yes.
Horsewoman. The fourth horsewoman.
The fourth horsewoman to our show. Guys, I'm glad we could set this up.
Yes.
I'm glad we could get this
Definitely.
Going. Of course, we are talking about Gifted, Season 1, Episode 1, Upfront Trailer. Bree, your mic is unmuted if you can mute yourself so I don't hear Anthony in the booth. But we are...
Oh, man.
We're excited. I watched the pilot today. Like, as soon as I saw that this show was coming out... I was really excited. I just literally have had no time. So I'm fresh off the books seeing this pilot.
Cool.
And... honestly, I'm really happy with how it was. The special effects looked dope. Mm-hmm. The characters had some really good character building. It didn't feel like they were trying to introduce way too many. We didn't like get so much information about all the characters. It was just like little bits and pieces. I wish they actually gave us like the name of that hearing dude. You guys know the name of him. But let's introduce the panel, guys. We're going to be covering this all season long and hopefully the upcoming seasons as well, because it'll probably, if it hasn't already, be picked up for a second season.
I'd say
third episode pickup, probably, knowing Fox. So I'm Stephen Lemieux. You can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHNLEMIEUX. I used to do the Strain After Show here with these guys. We also did Sleepy Hollow with Michael. So excited to do another Fox show. Joining me to my left, we have...
I'm Steph Sabron. You can follow me at Steph Sabron. I'm really excited to be here. Like he said, I love this episode. I'm excited to see where it goes next.
And I'm Rick Hong. You guys can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, RickHong.
And you can find me online at One Youngster, which is ONEYOUNGSTA.
And in the chat, they're telling me that I had the episode title wrong, which is... correct. I think I copied it down wrong. It's not a trailer. It's Exposed with a capital X.
Okay.
That's a little embarrassing for the very first episode of the show, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
we can roll with that.
There's been many more embarrassing things to come. So let's go ahead and break down some of the characters before we get into the storylines, just to kind of give a little bit of... actually, you know, before we do that... I want to just know, like, first thoughts, because this is the pilot. A lot of it's going to be just, like, kind of what happened and how they set up the show.
Yeah.
We're not going to see too much development aside from what they give us, because pilots are kind of like that. So, Steph, what did you think? What was your first impression after watching the pilot?
I really like this pilot. Like you said, I haven't seen a pilot for a superhero-type show that is that good, because... I think they did really well with character development with only the set amount of time for the episode, but also not bringing in too much, which I really liked. So you kind of got excited. I'm excited about the characters they have already brought in and seeing where that develops.
Cool. Rick?
You know, I do the Legion panel. And
just got to brag, huh?
No. But that was a really good pilot. But that's also a sister network of Fox, you know, FX.
Yeah.
And but that's also cable. And that was a good pilot. This is a really, really good pilot. I mean, I was sitting here thinking the whole time. I'm like, wow, this is much better than Young Sheldon, which got picked up for a full season. Which I'm like, I can't believe it got picked up for a full season. I was like,
a second one.
Right after it aired, they announced
the show.
It the next day.
Continue with the pilot. I don't want to talk about Young
Sheldon. No, I know. It's a joke, but like,
It's tough.
But this one, but that's what I'm saying. It's like this one, I want to say that like right away that they should. It's of all the different new shows that have aired so far that I've watched, this is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. What got me was the opening where they were like really tracking her down, and I was like, okay, this is solid. They're serious about this. They really want to make something that's interesting. And I came away saying, like, yes, they're marketing. I feel like they kind of gave the first episode away,
mm-hmm.
but I like what I got. I wasn't mad at the kids didn't annoy me, the mom didn't annoy me, none of that. I was just like, this is solid. Okay, cool. Now where are we going? So I'm into it, especially since I was like, Lorna's there, she's pregnant, so I'm like, I'm on board.
Spoiler, man.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Hold on, we saw this.
I was so surprised when that happened. I was like, they already did that the first episode. I didn't think they were gonna say what her health condition was.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys guessed it immediately, right? As soon as he showed her the paper and her reaction, I was like, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh,
my, so my
notes was like, oh, she's pregnant. I was like, definitely. I do want to say that my hopes for the show are that they don't get lost in this rabbit hole of constantly depending on, like, five of the six people getting away and one person being captured. Because seeing that twice in one episode was probably the only negative thing I can say about
the episode was that
it was just like, oh, one person gets brought back. And then it was kind of weird because they build up Lorna as this very intelligent person who built this underground network kind of thing. That was one of the Marco's lines, was that she built this, brought me in and everything. But then she doesn't strike me as the leader type in terms of letting her emotions get the better of her and getting captured like that. That didn't resonate with me. But aside from those two things, those are the only kind of like nitty gritty things that kind of upset me. But what I'm really excited about is that everyone saw The Amazing Spider-Man, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You didn't like it, but
what?
I thought it was amazing.
Are you kidding?
Hold on, are we talking about one or two?
No, the
first one.
Spider-Man Homecoming is what I meant to
say. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
We're good on that.
No, hey, dude, you were on the same wavelength, but you had the right title.
Yeah.
So, with Fox still owning these properties, and, you know, we've seen what they did in the past with X-Men 1, 2, and 3, and where it was like, really great, okay, all right, what are
and
you
And then kind of come back a little bit, then it's like,
And then there's future past, but, like, with Logan, We're seeing an age of Fox-owned properties getting the blessings from Marvel, which I think is just so beneficial to the IPs that with this show, right off the bat, showing Stan Lee walking out of the bar.
Like that. And it didn't overplay the moment.
No, not at all.
I liked it.
But it was, to me, that was like the signal of like, Marvel is cool with this. They're on board. Yeah. We're going to get cool stuff. And nobody's going to be dealing with like the legality issues of trying to use any image or anything like that.
True.
Like arguing over who's a mutant, who's technically a Marvel superhero. Like that, that to me was like, this is a blessing. This is going to be a double property that will be at the same level of Spider-Man Homecoming in terms of teamwork and having great characters. So I'm super excited for like what they can actually pull out and bring in. Plus, we get the name drops of the X-Men. We get the name drops of the Brotherhood. We get all of this, like, all of these canon marks that show that, okay, this is in that same universe. Those characters do exist. There is a possibility of seeing them, or at least hearing tell of them. Like, I really hope we get some Gambit drop on this, or at least
signs of,
like, I feel like what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did really well is they laid breadcrumbs throughout with, like, this is referencing these people, this is referencing these people. This show definitely has that ability. And it's set in a time probably a little bit before Logan.
Do you think it's the same as Logan? Yeah, I was wondering if this is before or after Logan, because it seems like they're talking to, it seems like they don't know whether the X-Men are disbanded, are defeated, are gone, are gave up, or whatever. It just seems like it's like nobody really knows where the X-Men are, so we're kind of just doing the best we can.
But they acted like they had been gone for years.
Yeah.
Because he said that's a tall tale or something like that. So I was confused on the timeline, like how long after.
Yeah. So that should be kind of cool, I guess, as they display or lay that out for us.
I guess. I'm curious as to whether this is in the same timeline universe as Logan. The reason for that is in Logan, obviously, it's a drug that they put in the water system that inhibits the mutants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, that obviously hasn't happened in this timeline yet.
Yeah.
So it's either in the past or it's just a different set timeline, which I'm assuming they're just going to do a different set timeline. Like, let's be honest. But that being said, I think they built some pretty good characters and they made them have their concrete, like, moral points right off the bat. The brother and sister weren't as believable, but it is a pilot, so, like, it's going to take time
to develop. Right.
They'll grow, and they'll get better.
So I love Stephen Moyer. What did you guys think of his performance as Reed, the dad?
His performance was good, although His haircut was really distracting. I mean, I was like, dude, what is
Sookie.
Going on? Yeah, exactly.
I went to a new barber, Sookie.
Jessica, I command you. But no, his haircut was distracting, but he was good in that role of being the kind of the attorney enforcer looking for the mutants, I guess.
Yeah. I think he was solid. He was like the solid dad. I think they played him like, oh, we're going to take him out sooner. Like, the end of this episode, he'll be gone. So I think they played him that way where they gave him just enough. Like, we know where he works. We know the people that he works with, kind of like the job he does. And that's enough to kind of get the ball rolling for the kids.
Do you think he's not going to be involved? Because the last scene, I mean, he's out the elevator.
Yeah, it seems like, well, I'm thinking they're going to have him, like, kind of, like, locked up and questioned, but they're not going to have him, like, he's not going to be, like, leading the show. Mm-hmm. As far as in screen time, maybe, like, 3-4 minutes an episode, and then it'll be, like, what are the kids doing?
Yeah.
What is everybody else doing?
I disagree completely. I think he's going to be the, what is it called? He's the character with the most possibility of being turncoat in terms of, like...
Okay.
Because what he stands on is that his family is the most important mm-hmm. thing, but mm-hmm. what his career is built on is turning a blind eye to the horrors in regards to for the greater cause. You even see that when he meets and goes into the room with Polaris, Lanya.
She tries screwing with his knee.
She tries screwing with his knee, but he's like, it's attempted murder, these are serious charges. He brings the humanity to it, but also he is aware of the Sentinel. We know that he was aware at that point still, so he knows kind of what they're doing. He knows that it's happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like if anyone was going to be indoctrinated into kind of their viewpoint from the standpoint of this is to save your family, I don't know. Hmm. I see him being...
Okay, I see where you're going.
I see him becoming a Sentinel agent in some ways or forms. Wow. And in his mind...
Really? That would be nice. I would like to see that.
In his mind, being a Sentinel agent that's a good Sentinel agent. Well, he can change it for good from the inside or whatever. Yeah.
He gets sucked further and further into the darkness of, you know, of course, the Mutant Registration Act or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they end up calling it in here.
We're also privy to the fact that they have these spider robots now.
Oh, yeah.
That... kind of shows that the technology has developed to a certain point, to the point of where there are the, what are they called? The Centurions, whatever you want to call them, the big robots in the X-Men. So they have that technology already, which means that they probably have some kind of brainwashing thing or whatever they want to make it out to be.
Do you guys feel like the little spider things were a little bit like the... I mean, it was like a combination of Revenge of the Sith or was it Attack of the Clones where they had like the little thing on the spaceship?
Like bus droids.
Yeah, that. And then on top of the death droids and Phantom.
I agree.
They reminded me of squids from Matrix.
Sure. That too.
Because they were like...
Or like those things from Minority Report that were coming through. Like those, always like weird, creepy, crawly.
So it's always like some sort of weird spider.
I was on board with those. Like the way they like did their call and then all the red lights lit up. Like that was pretty terrifying. Like the direction and cinematography in the show was really good for the pilot.
Yeah. And now I will say with that scene, they did kind of... They almost like let you know like, okay, guys... Something's about to happen out here. like when the way the shot was set up, I was like, set piece? I was like, here we go. Because then I was looking, I was like, oh, this is from the trailer. Here we go. And I was like, but I was glad that they played it longer than I thought it would be. Because I thought they were just going to capture him and it was going to be it. But they actually played it a little bit better. So I was satisfied with it.
So we raise the stakes with the rubber chicken, and then we have that ending climactic scene. We'll get to that, though. So Stephen Moyer is Reed. I thought he was great because you get the hardness of him in the very first scene in terms of, like, you know, that's they were smart playing the bullying card because that's something any parent relates to in terms of, like, the school always, like, goes through all these steps and it never helps.
We follow the care system.
Like, in high school, someone, like, shoved my face in a window and they were, like, they brought him in to sit next to me and ask me what his punishment should be.
Yeah.
So, like I connected with that.
It's like, yeah. Don't you know, though? Like, don't... You know what his punishment should be?
So like
no,
are we
they don't.
Are we writing rules now? Like
yeah. So like the whole parent thing, like that happens to kids so all over the place. Parents have dealt with that and they get fed up. So I really like that they like created this hardened attitude of him, but it's also for his family. And then as soon as the mom tells him that they're mutants, his mind doesn't go into like, oh, what about my job? What about my job? It goes into how do I protect my family? So they lay the cornerstone for that character. Mm-hmm. You are also introduced to Amy Acker, who plays Kate Strucker, who she did a really great job of going through the seven stages of grief very quickly.
She's the one who sold this show for me, though. Because I know her as Root. Like I was saying, I know her as Root from Person of Interest. Once I saw her, I was like, oh, this show's going to be good.
No, I mean, she's from like sci-fi lore, too. Yeah. Because she started off in Angel. Mm-hmm. She started off in Angel. And then she moved on to Dollhouse.
Okay.
So she's very much a Joss Whedon find, like a Jennifer Garner is a J.J. Abrams find, I guess, kind of.
I think she's going to develop into a major role. I feel like she's in this nurturing role, but I think that she's going to become more powerful because she hopefully has to protect her family. Like, you know, she's got to do something without powers.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, based on that, like, somehow the parents are going to get some kind of power. Mm-hmm. Because with shows like this, like, you can go for a season with the parents being weak and stuff, but, like, the more you go, like, you can't keep carrying characters around that don't have any use. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of, like, when things get so grandiose that the world's at stake, which it usually comes to, like, normal people just kind of, like, they're not really that useful. Unless they're going to use the parents as, like, triggering the powers for the kids or something.
Yeah, like inspiration, come to, your mom gives you, like, the strength you need mentally to power on. And
I need to use my power. Quick, punch my mom.
Yeah, that's it's how, like, the kid
thank
does
you.
It.
Thank you for hitting my mom at that moment. That really helped me. But Amy Acker's really great at the comedy, and she's really great at the drama. So it's kind of a versatile character, which really helps because you have the son, played by Percy Hines-White, who's just this, unfortunately, to use this term, Zach-like character.
Oh, man. Hold on.
I heard you. Stop the tape.
He's not as bad as Zach. He's got his stuff. But he's not as bad as Zach.
We're referencing Zach from The Strain. But no, he's not. But that character that's very dark. And he's so. But he's, again, he's being bullied. He's not sure how to handle things. And then followed by the sister who's more like the mom's comedic side, mm-hmm. where she's like the caretaker and she's kind of laughing it off. She's having a teenage girl's life. What really surprised me in this pilot was when we find out that the parents didn't know.
Yeah.
And we find out that Andy didn't know that he was a mutant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, from my understanding, I thought the kids both knew and Andy was trying to keep it under control in the bathroom, but then he's like, oh, I didn't know. It was like, apparently that was his activation.
Yeah.
Which, for a 42-minute television series, they do a build-up, activation, storyline, chase. Meanwhile, they have the side storyline with the brother and sister trying to figure out how to use their powers, mm-hmm. mixed with creating the entity that is the Sentinel and them getting away. So, like,
and a dab of Carrie, the movie Carrie.
Oh, I love the Carrie homage.
Like when he's in the red light. Yeah, little dab of, like, Carrie and the whole...
So on the nose with that. So, like, for if every episode is as packed as this one, like, this show is...
It keeps it moving. And you're like, oh, okay, we learned a lot of stuff. Because one thing that I say a lot when it comes to shows, like, what did you learn in this episode? Mm-hmm. And we actually learned a lot. We learned that there's a brotherhood. X-Men are kind of a story, kind of maybe still around. We're not sure. But people are actually trying to figure it out. We know the mutant registration is going on. We learned tons of stuff. And, you know, they kept it moving. So that's why I was like, you know, this was solid. I was definitely happy to see this. And besides the Zach likeness of
it. No, I mean, Steven, you said it too. Like, this is a pilot. You know, you've got to catch people right away, because mm-hmm. like, I'm also wondering right now, it's October, mm-hmm. it's Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball comes on Fox, so I don't know if that's going to disrupt the programming for this. I don't know if it's going to, like, I don't know if there's, like, you know, it's going to disrupt the programming for a little bit where it's every couple weeks, all of a sudden, like, The Gifted comes back, so you've got to, like, keep people.
I think they might still put it online, though.
So I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure. But that's what I'm just saying. So like, but it's like you talked about though. Like, it's the pilots. You've got to try to catch and put as much as you can in there.
But I do hope they keep it like that, because I did like how they showed how he did activate his mutation, because if you don't know what's going on, then you kind of learn a little of the background of how they learn how to control the powers or whatever gifts they have. And I hope that they do that continuously in the writing, because I like those details, but I like how quick they move through them to the next scene.
And now they'll be around other mutants that are, I guess, probably more experienced to kind of help them
and
along.
And that's cool watching people gain their skills and strength, like the sister was kind of talking about, because she's really good at it.
Yeah, like she has no problem doing.
And that was cool because they gave the sister a backstory of having come to her powers 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it gave her time to actually learn how to use them. Because, like.
Yeah, because it's supposed to happen during puberty. So
that's what I was. Yeah, that's
he's
what
a
I was
little
thinking,
past.
Right?
But we'll let that slide. Let that slide.
I mean, or we think, anyways, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But, so we learn that her powers are basically the movement of matter. It's not just creating bubbles. She mentions it offhandedly, but she can move water and other materials, too. It's just harder. So I think we'll definitely get some sand and some water scenes this season. Possibly even, like, items or telekinetic kind of similar things. Because the dangerous thing you have to go into with these shows is when you give people powers, it's like everything to a certain point just becomes telekinesis. Because you can just use... Like, if you can move air, you basically have telekinesis. If you can metal, you basically have telekinesis. Yeah. Like, everything just kind of turns into that. So I'm really wondering what
Were they going to cut her power off?
Or, even Andy's power. Like, I thought he had the power of, like, kind of earthquaking and stuff. But really,
it's telekinesis.
It bends the showers and it destroys the raw. It's telekinesis. Like, everything comes back to telekinesis.
It's Carrie.
How did he destroy the spider bots?
He kind of, I mean, like you say, telekinesis.
It's like like an inner rage. I mean, I don't know if you guys have watched Legion, but it's kind of just that same thing. It's just like an inner rage that just kind of just manifests out. And since he doesn't have, like, control yet, what the sister is teaching him is, like, this is how you kind of control the areas of your power.
But
so that's why I just, or maybe he's really that much more powerful.
Yeah.
And we don't know the extent of his...
The emotional people are the most powerful. Like, Anakin Skywalker, for referencing.
You underestimate my power. I hate you.
Super emotional.
You killed younglings.
Never forget.
You're breaking my heart.
None of them was like 16. Not all younglings.
Oh, man.
I've got the high ground here. From an elevated
position. No, we did not have that.
You were my brother.
I just hope they actually... I know that, like, exposition is kind of annoying, but I really hope we get some exposition that explains the powers. Because, like, to some degree, like, when it's so vague, you're still kind of, like, confused. They did it with Polaris, this episode where she talks about she can make portals, but she has to see where she's going or she has to have been there.
Oh, Blink.
Say Blink, Blink, yeah. And then we don't really learn too much about Polaris. I'm assuming it's magnetism because her name's Polaris and polarity has to do with magnetism.
And also with being the daughter, depending on what being the daughter of Magneto, but I don't know if they're going to bring that in or not. Because when I saw Lorna, I was like, oh, Lorna Polaris? And I was like, cool. But I didn't know how they were going to handle that.
Yeah.
So we'll see, I guess.
I read somewhere that she has bipolar disorder, too. And that's in her hair. Well, next episode, I guess they're making her hair green because some fans were mad about that. But I guess that's because if you look at that, how she got locked up, she went she couldn't control herself at all in that moment.
True. So that makes a good point to my negative at the beginning. If it's played into her character, then it is no longer a negative.
Like, she has to remain kind of calm and zen-like to kind of make sure she keeps her stuff together.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Flashlight, which I'm calling him forevermore.
Flashlight.
Marcos is now Flashlight because the first two or three times we see him use his power, all he does is
Flashlight,
shine a light,
blind people, and then warm her up with a lukewarm hand of Flashlight powers.
But then he does use kind of like a welding kind of strength.
No,
like,
but later. That was after.
He was like,
he's
Flashlight
already,
is established.
Flashlight.
Flashlight is established.
Now he's just very powerful Flashlight.
Super Flashlight.
Super Flashlight.
Yeah, he did kind of Flashlight.
CW's the Flashlight.
It did kind of Flashlight it a little bit because he was like, that's where it is.
Throughout, if I mention anyone by Flashlight, I'm definitely talking about Carlos.
Yeah.
Even when he's queuing to read at the diner, it's like, hey, I'm Flashlight.
He's like,
go to the table that's a little bit more lit than the other tables. There's mood lighting in this place except for one table.
I did kind of giggle when he did that because I was like, I was like, but you know what? You have to let the show be the show sometimes.
It was cool when he gets shot and he's just light coming out of the wound.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Sick, which means he probably has a lot more power than he can control right now.
True.
So I think he's like, he's just made of Cyclops eyes. In a way. Like
without
just,
the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, without just, the red.
He's just a flashlight.
Yeah, he's a big old beacon of light.
How about we just call him LED?
How about we call him Lighthouse?
Yeah, like, what's his character? It's Eclipse, right? Yeah. We can just change it to Flashlight. Changing to Flashlight. That's his name now.
And then, who's the other guy with the sound powers?
Oh,
the guy that was kind of like a tracker or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, the tracker.
I don't... Because I thought they were playing him to be, what is his name?
That was the guy in Days of Future Past. Oh, not Days of
the
Future
guy from X-Force. He's always with Wolverine. The guy. Yeah. Not
Bishop.
Not Bishop. Okay, I want to say T-Hawk, but that's Street Fighter.
The actor is Blair Redford. And he's playing John Proudstar.
Oh, okay. Proudstar. Thunderbird, Proudstar. Yeah. Okay. Right,
so he's Thunderbird. Got it. Well, they show the bird a little bit anytime he goes into the vision.
Yeah, so Proudstar works. Proudstar will be... Okay, now I see who he's supposed to be. All right, so it's a similar kind of vein.
I was confused at first because remember when they... who was it? Someone came up to him and was like,
Flashlight came up.
Yeah, and then he was like, I'll find them. I found you. And I was like, okay, this guy, how are you going to find them? Because I didn't know what his power was.
That's right.
That's why I was thinking he was Thunderbird, but I was like, well, Thunderbird... go ahead.
I think he can track them, right?
Yeah, he's got these enhanced, like... vision and like sense powers, but Thunderbird, they even keep his powers kind of vague because Thunderbird is like super strong.
Yeah,
because
like, I was like, he can fight very well.
And because when he's in X-Force with Wolverine, he doesn't use like tracking powers, he just beat people up and it's cool because it's him and Wolverine. It's like he just carries two big blades and that's it.
Because in this it somewhat even seemed like he was using like seismic powers to like view things.
Because you could see his
it was kind of like
Feeling the vibrations and like...
Yeah.
Good vibration! He's got to sort the good and bad vibrations.
Johnny T's on my backup.
He's like, flashlight. Let me just use my powers real quick and find where they are. Good vibrations!
Yeah. He's like, that's a 7.3. So they're close. They're close. I know they're close.
John, do you have to say that every time? Yes. How did your powers activate? Like, cuts to a club. Good vibrations! He's like...
I wish.
Now, I do like when they found Blink, when she was just throwing stuff at them. I thought that was funny because, you know, she didn't have the strength to make another portal, so she was just like, screw it. She was like, look, I can't really fight, screw it.
I believe you threw my stapler. I believe that's my stapler.
It's like, look, we'll get you another one in the basement.
The opening scene catches you immediately with her opening the portal and it ripping the top off the police car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her powers are legit. I couldn't tell, like, that's why I was watching it too small, that her eyes were changed until like she was in the clubhouse and like had her eyes. What do you guys think of the clubhouse? A little bit too ritzy for like what we're going for?
Very nice. Very nice place.
I mean, look, when you're a mutant, you know, maybe you use a couple of your powers to get nice things, you know?
But
maybe
the portal door looked like a bank opening.
It's a bank vault, yeah.
Oh, it is a bank vault? Okay.
So maybe it's an old bank, you know, like an old rundown bank, you know, so they left, you know, and
just
they...
the last place they'd look. The place that's abandoned with all the lights on. They just have, like, flashlights feet just, like, shooting power into the building 24/7. When he's not there, it's just black.
Complete pitch black.
God, we need freaking flashlight back. I gotta check my email.
But, yeah, it is... They do have some nice digs, but that's one of those things that you kind of let go for the show. Yeah. Like, you kind of know, like, maybe it's out on a back road or something. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has to have their little, you know, their hideout. It would have been nice if they were underground, but, you know, you got to let the show be the show.
Mm-hmm. maybe it's a little bit like, it reminds me a little bit of, like, the movie Jumper. I don't know if you ever you guys ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, but that was kind of the same thing. That the same mythology was I have to have seen something for me to go there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'll screw myself and I'll die. So maybe she was, you know, like jumping into bank vaults, pulling some money out, and they're able to have those nice things.
Okay.
She just takes the whole bank with them.
Yeah, because if you, Kim, I think Nightcrawler made this reference one time in a movie. Like,
that
if I don't,
too, probably, yeah.
Yeah, like, if I don't know where I'm going, I could end up inside a wall. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and then you're
They really, dead. Like, raise the stakes, though, because when they do it in the movies and you have, what's-her-face, Kitty Pryde, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talking about, like, she's afraid of, like, ending up in a wall. And, like, yeah, you get ended up in a wall. And then this is just like, oh, let me throw the chicken through. Half the chicken comes out. You're like, ugh. You're like,
okay.
Yeah.
Had to work on your powers a little bit.
Yeah, maybe don't.
What was that also like in the one of the, or Gravity, right? No, what space movie? Where Michael or McConaughey was in it.
Oh,
Interstellar. Yeah, Interstellar.
Where he's like in the book. He's in the bookshelves. She's like, hey. He's like waving to his daughter.
Moving the books.
Oh. Another actor we're brought into this, which I always love him when he's in stuff, is Kobe Bell.
Yep. Third Watch, way back in the day, was one of his first TV shows.
Ooh, yeah.
Burn Notice. He was good in Burn Notice.
Yes.
He's pretty solid. So he's a good character because.
And he did the Pitsy Shuffle on The Game. So just
he did.
Anyone who knows The Game, you know, Shuffle.
I think he actually came in the studio for The Game. but no, he's really good. If I see any character as being somewhat neutral on the Sentinel side, I see him as that character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But because I feel like from the motivations we can see so far, like he's not like a shoot to kill kind of person right up front. That you can see that based on his partner seems like the shoot to kill person from the house scene when he shows up to their front door and he's actually,
he was like, just let us in or whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm a father, I understand. I was like, okay.
So I feel like he's probably going to have a backstory where maybe his wife was killed by a mutant or something like that. Because I feel like Sentinel probably has like the hardcore people who are like greater good kind of stuff mixed with the evil people who are like, kill them all!
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see where his character goes. They have, like we get one sight of Shatter at the clubhouse, who's played by Jermaine Rivers, which...
Jermaine.
The character design on that looked super badass.
Yeah, I thought he was going to show up again. It was such a quick clip.
Yeah, they were just like, oh, there, he's gone.
No, yeah, it's great, to have a tease. It's great to have a little tease and look forward to something.
That's true.
they like offhandedly like show us the characters of the clubhouse. And next episode we'll probably like see who they are.
Get to meet them.
Maybe
and...
one or two of them has been recast once it's been picked up. But
right?
So let's move on to the relationship between the kids. So there's one storyline going on, which is like the greater storyline, but then you have the relationship between the brother and sister kind of developing throughout this episode. I think when I realized it was kind of unbelievable was at the motel. Just her talking to him about like, oh yeah, you know, your powers, like, duh, duh, duh. It's just like, I taught you how to swim. Like, it just seemed like very unnatural. But aside from that, it was cool. What did you think of the whole dynamic with her at school and with him at school and kind of how they were very different people?
I actually didn't mind it because I know that happens sometimes where, like, one sibling is like, hey, I enjoy this school. I'm having a great time. And, like, the other sibling's like, man, I hate this school. I want to move. I can't stand this school. And then, of course, you know, she's pretty. So her life at the school is going to be a little bit different than the kid who's not – he's not the most handsome child.
Yeah.
And he's not the coolest.
He can grow into a good looking.
Yeah, you know, he's not going to be on the cover of GQ anytime soon. Watch next month, he'll be on the cover.
Yeah, yeah.
But the funny thing is...
He's going to take his growing pains.
He's got you know, he's kind of like the ugly duckling right now. He's like disheveled. He doesn't wear the cool clothes. He's getting picked on. He's probably not, you know, popular.
Like,
so
she's
having a great time.
Yet.
He's not, and then you can see them argue about it at, like, the breakfast table or whatever, like, arguing about school and, like, little stuff. So those small rifts probably play into their school, you know, I guess, lives or whatever. But I do like how, at the end of the day, they're like, we're family. And, Vin Diesel, we're family. But they are family.
But she
found you, my friend.
She sees him though. When the bullies follow him into the bathroom, she notices.
Yeah, she sees
and I'm
and
like,
doesn't.
How are you gonna let that happen? You know he gets
she's like,
bullied
she's
every
like,
day.
He'll be all right.
But it is that was my only problem. Is there's some, and I get this with sisters and brothers. There's always like ups and downs, and you love them, but you're mean to them sometimes. But she did that to him, played him out on that. She should have gone because she seems popular. She could have made something happen. But
then, he did say like, I can handle it.
Yeah.
Like when they were in the car, she's like, what are you gonna do about your fan club? And he's like, I can handle my fan club.
Yeah.
So it's like, he made the decision to go to the dance.
But then she's so, so patient with him. I mean, he earthquaked the entire school, and she's like, it's okay, it's okay. And then he blows up the vending machine, and she's like, it's okay, it's okay. I'm like, if my brother just blew up the vending machine that we were just at, after he made us move school, I would flip.
Yeah. He got his candy bar.
Yeah, she doesn't seem too upset.
I'm not teaching
and he
you.
Shook the house. He shook the house before. I'd be like, look, okay, look, don't use your powers right now,
and
okay? Wait until we're like in the woods
to get out.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't seem, that was one thing we were missing. She didn't seem too upset that she had to leave the school and all her friends and her boyfriend, because, like, her and her boyfriend are, like, right together.
Yeah,
And that was kind of a weird shift, because if you watched the pilot for Ozark, that was, like, the biggest thing with the kids. We're like, we have to leave!
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but the difference is they don't have any special powers, right? I mean, it's like no one's going to jail them for...
I know, but you gotta see, like, the only time we see them actually acting like kids is when they're, one, being bullied, and two, when they're in the back seat with the sticky seat.
Yeah.
So, like...
Oh, yeah.
And going to a vending machine.
Yeah, but even that, that was acting as a sensei-student relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I feel like we need to make sure we don't lose the child aspect of them, because they are teenagers. So, like, as long as, like, it's a lot to pack in 42 minutes, though. So, what they did, but I'd like to see the boyfriend come back in some capacity, like, reaching out, or them trying to use the boyfriend against her to capture her or something like that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys something like this, because it is the very first episode, and if you think about it, her powers are more powers of protection, and his powers are more powers of destruction, and his coming of superhero-ness was very similar to Magneto's in a certain sense.
Yeah.
Do you
see... It was brought on by, like, trauma.
Trauma and, like, people being very forceful with him. Do you see their storylines going different ways in the same way as Charles Xavier and Magneto?
Yeah. I would like to. But then, of course, it depends on how much time they get in the show. Also, I was wondering, how powerful is he going to be? Because he shook the whole school.
Yeah.
So is he going to be like a level 5? Well, are they even going to say level 5 mutants and Omega 11 mutants? Are they even going to use those terms? I don't know. But how powerful will he get?
I feel like we'll get that next episode. Once the government finds out they escaped, they're going to be asking... Yeah. They're going to be asking Reed, right? His name's Reed. They're going to be asking
Papa.
Reed Strucker. They're going to be asking me a lot of questions, like, how long have you known your son was a level 5? How long have you known this? Like,
They'll
probably throw a lot of exposition out there and give us a lot of information. I'm just more interested to see how they play these characters against each other. Because if we go with Reed becoming kind of a inside man for certain, like, save his family by working with these people or whatever, we still haven't been introduced to the bad mutants. And I really think we need to be, in terms of Magneto's team, whatever you want to call them, whoever they are, like the mutants who are anti-humanity at this point. Because you're going to need at some point to introduce Andy to them. Because the split between him and his sister has to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
But he has to feel accepted by a group of people, just like Firestarter in the X series that Fox put on an original.
Oh. Yeah.
You said Firestarter, I was thinking it's like Stephen King. I was like, Drew like Barrymore, Stephen which is, I really liked. But I was like, that's what I was thinking at first. I was like, what?
Wait,
so I think the way they've built these characters, it would really make sense for the sister to be the Charles Xavier and him to be the Magneto. And I think we need to be introduced to the bad side of the mutants as well as the brotherhood we already have.
Yeah.
And I think the father being part of Sentinel in that respect in some way could drive them to those moments.
Mm,
so I think there's a lot to build on. This is all predilectionary or predictionary at this point. But I don't know. There's a lot of directions they can go with. It's a pilot, of course, and a lot of predictions. Do you have any solid, like, season one predictions at the moment? We're not going into predictions right now, Bree, but anything, like, that you'd like to see in this series?
Season one, for the end of the season, I do think we're going to get a situation where the brother and sister are going to have to decide whether they stay kind of like under their parents' wings or whether they go out on their own. Now, I don't know if they'll split or not, but I do think that they're going to separate from their parents. I think this season is going to have to be kind of like a coming of age for them, where they're like, okay, we're not kids anymore. I don't need my mom. I don't need my dad anymore. I'm on my own.
I'm 14. I'm an adult. God.
Well, when you have powers and you're 14,
boyfriend.
It's different. Like, I'm a mutant, Daddy.
I don't have a driver's license, but I can make things move.
I got a nuke. I got a nuke.
I'll drive my car with bubbles.
Oh, true. Man. I love you, Dad. We will not reference The Strain for the next 5 minutes. but you know, I think this is going to be, hopefully this season will be a turning point where they can kind of like go off and start their own stories. And their parents will kind of, I guess, fall back, maybe stay in contact, maybe be in jail, whatever. Whatever, however Sentinel decides to use them mm-hmm. against their kids. So, okay. At least I hope, I think.
Rick Hong, the table is yours.
The table is mine. well, but we're not in predictions yet, right?
No, it's just like season. What would you like to see in season one with these characters that we have introduced?
Ah, jeez.
You don't have to have situations, just more of like, where do you think they'll develop to?
Where do I think that these characters will develop to?
And do you think anyone will die?
That would be great. Actually, I like that. I actually do like that. I mean, maybe I'm stealing yours, but I would love to see. I would love to see some kids die,
man.
I mean, like, no, not kids, but I would. I do enjoy the one where you get to know a certain character, you are behind a certain character, and then they die because the norm of TV is always, you know,
they stick around forever.
Yeah, but when that doesn't happen, then it's even better. Sometimes it's better. Like, it still hooks you, and you're like, you're more invested because somebody died, and you're like, okay, you're in a real world. You're mm-hmm. not just in fantasy, like, entertainment world.
And the stakes are so high, someone does have to kind of die eventually.
What do you think?
I think, well, since they're already going to bring the feds in so quick and that big of a role, that I think the dad, since he's a prosecutor, could play some roles in legislation for people that are being completely outlawed from society for all these years, you know, kind of changing the narrative a little bit. Obviously, that would be years and years of making, but that is somewhere that character can develop into.
Yeah, because he could do something like, I guess, like working towards like case law.
Yeah.
Like if he wins this case, he sets the precedent for blah, blah, blah.
Remember when he's doing the whole kind of deposition with his son and the wife's like, it's not a deposition, but I think he wants to maybe flip the script and kind of see it from their side, switch the narrative.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see this show go for like 4 or 5 seasons, and maybe season 2 or 3, Stephen Moyer becomes the new Wolverine.
That is not a bad idea.
He would be a badass Wolverine.
But I want,
for this series, like not to go into movies or anything like this. Just a character of the similar ilk, similar type power.
So not Logan.
Not Logan.
A Wolverine
character.
Yeah. Okay. Someone who does kind of like Berserker Rage, great fighter, he can take damage, that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Adamantium? Like even, adamantium? No.
Doesn't have to be adamantium, okay. Just something in terms of like, you know, that kind of general character. Maybe even hypnotized by Sentinel and working for Sentinel or something like that.
Okay.
But if like, because what if him being interrogated by Sentinel sets him off and breeds his helative powers or something like that? I don't know. I think there's no way that both kids are mutants and both parents don't have the ability.
Yeah.
So, like, that's...
Unless it's something, like, where they carried the gene, but they weren't... you know how, like, it passes a generation or something? Maybe...
Yeah,
maybe
what are the rules
recessive
of that?
Genes and all
yeah,
that
Yeah, like,
stuff.
Is it recessive? Does it ever activate? Do these mutants get secondary mutations? Like, because that... is a thing, so possibly there's so many things that could happen in this show, which please I hope it does, and just keep doing what you're doing and that you did
you know,
this season.
I want to
I mean,
add
this show.
No, I do want to add, because I guess this has kind of just popped in my brain, that I would love to see some version of a crossover, not necessarily either from like the films, but maybe even from Legion. You know, just even just
okay.
like if it
to connect their television world.
Because like, no, what's great is that the team behind Legion, the team behind The Gifted, you know, it's the same producers. Mm-hmm. It's the same producers, different showrunners, but the same producers. So I would love to see them kind of at some point, just even if it hints at it, just briefly in one of the seasons, like that's maybe even in season, maybe at the end of this season.
That could
maybe
be cool.
Just hint at it, because Legion's FX, this is Fox. So it's totally.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's totally doable.
Yeah.
You know, just like how they borrowed Spider-Man for
and look
the
at
Marvel.
What those ratings from a business perspective. Look at what it does for CW, man. That thing kills.
Uh-huh.
Whenever they have that crossover week, it kills for, you know, so it would make sense do something with Legion.
Wasn't it South America where they were going to in the end of Logan?
They left South America. They were going to Canada.
They were going to Canada. Okay, got it. But they say, they mention in this that the Mutant Brotherhood is, or Mutant Underground, whatever, is international. So they, I mean, that could be indirectly referencing the girls or the kids from the end of Logan or things like that.
Wow.
So, like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of room for bringing in those crossovers and bringing in these characters. Yeah, so I think there's a lot they can do with this show. Hopefully you guys in the chat role are also excited for the rest of the season. Please, after this video's over, comment so we can reply, because we haven't been, like, commenting too much in the chat role today because we're focused on the pilot, but the comments in there don't save, so please, after the show is over, comment yep. there. Oh. Also, go to iTunes and search AfterBuzz Gifted, and you'll find this podcast. Leave us a review, hopefully 5 stars. If you leave us a review, we'll give you a shout-out on the show. Right now, I'll give a shout-out to the people in the live chat. We got Sean Bowman, Renji90998, Madeline Y, Young and Savage, Black Jones, Brian Brawler, Kenny Brown. Who else we got in here? We had a few people earlier. Ryan with Talisons in the chat. Lel Kid, that's you.
Yeah,
Danny
that's me.
H, Reneguima, Star Drew, LB One of a Kind Elite, Chaos 13212. Tons of people.
Oh yeah, Star Drew, what up?
Star Drew, I like that name.
Please also hit that thumbs up button right now. There's 33 of you watching, so there's no reason we should only have 14 right now. Come on, guys. Help us get special guests by keeping the show, sharing it with your friends. If your friends watch the show, share the after show with them. Also, AfterBuzz TV has changed a little bit over the past four yep. weeks. Basically, what was happening is we were uploading so much content to one YouTube channel that, like, everyone was getting, like, you'd subscribe and you get like 40 emails in a night because we do so much. So we decided to split it up into 9 channels. The original AfterBuzz TV channel is now featured in originals. This one is AfterBuzzTV.com or YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTVDramas. And if you go there, or sorry, that's not this one, but that's like the main one, which has all the drama television. This one is YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTVSciFi, SCIFI. Mm. So go to there, SCIFI, AfterBuzzTV, SCIFI. And subscribe. You'll be getting this video every week. You'll be getting great other after shows, but we won't be doing 30 a night. Maybe like one or two a day on each YouTube channel, which is great. You guys won't get bombarded. please go subscribe there. We're going to be doing the whole season.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is this a short order or is it a long?
I haven't figured out. I mean, if they've.
Because you know how Fox sometimes will do you. Fox, I love you, Fox, but sometimes you'll be like, all right, season one. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be like 22 episodes. Yeah, it's going to be 10 episodes. Oh, you like this? It's canceled. So, right. Fox, please.
Oh, you don't like this? We're going to kill off the main character and have it go with just a British guy. Sleepy Hollow. Just saying. That's all the time we have today, guys.
Aww.
I couldn't have said that weirder if I tried.
No, hey, no, but what's awesome is that The Gifted is on tomorrow night.
Yes, so, tomorrow night.
I mean...
Bree, your clock is going off. If you can use that alarm.
It's an explosion!
So yeah, we are doing this 6 days here. After the show airs, unfortunately, because timing-wise it wouldn't have worked out other way. But that just means we can watch it twice or get news and gossip or work on booking more guests because usually they have viewing parties the night of. So if we did the night of, we probably wouldn't be able to book anyone.
And weekend makes it a lot simpler to get guests because like their schedules are way more
and
open.
And our predictions are super close to the episode.
Yeah.
And Mike, is it public with your little like special news, like your exciting news? Is that public?
Oh, yeah. I did make it public when I was my last couple of episodes on BHL. Guys, if you didn't know, I have a baby on the way.
Yes.
It's going to be bomb. March 4th.
Congratulations.
But you know how babies are. It could be plus or minus a week. But March 4th is when the new young Michael is on the way.
Two youngster is born.
Two youngsters.
He's already got his Twitters and Instagrams and all that.
It's like one youngster.
But where can we find you, Michael, in the meanwhile?
On YouTube, you can find me at Nerdsoul, NERDSOUL. Just search it. I'll come up. I'll be like... And then you can find me on Twitter, everywhere else, at One Youngster, which is ONEYOUNGSTA.
And Rick.
You guys can find me on all social media, at Rick Kong, RICKHUNG. And in about an hour, I'm going to be hosting Netflix news. So, like, if you guys want to know anything about Netflix, it'll be on at 7 p.m.
Sundays.
Pacific Standard Time.
Steph.
I'm Steph Sabraw. You can follow me at Twitter and Instagram at Steph Sabraw, S-A-B-R-A-W. And I'll be doing the SNL after show, too. So, come watch.
And Steph doesn't have too many followers yet.
No.
So you guys need to go and follow her right now.
Rookie season.
Because we're going to be posting memes. We're going to be posting all sorts of fun stuff around the show. We're about to go take a photo and like reenact the promo picture for the game.
That would be fun.
Yes. You guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, STPHNLEMIEUX. Join us every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Gifted Review. Tweet at the special guest. Tell him you want him to come on. And please tweet your friends with the link and share it with everybody you know. Hit that thumbs up, comment below. Have a great week, guys. We will see you next Sunday.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Oh no, not my vending machine!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.